between myself and your truth. These cursed memories forever seeping through. Oh, my thirst for myself left me wanting more, till I found myself face down on your shore. You say, come to the
Low in the grave he lay, Jesus my Savior, waiting the coming day, Jesus my Lord.
Up from the grave he rose, with a mighty triumph for his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose.
Jesus, my Savior, vainly they seal the dead, Jesus, my Lord.
Up from the grave he arose, with a mighty triumph on his foes. He rose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever. Saints to reign. He arose, he arose, hallelujah, Christ arose.
Death cannot keep its prey, Jesus my Savior, he tore the bar.
And he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose, he arose, hallelujah, Christ arose.
Up from the grave he arose, with a mighty triumph on his foes. He rose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose, he arose, hallelujah, Christ
arose. You can see it in the movies, in the paper, and the TV news. Somebody's army is always on the move. There's gonna be a battle, the lines have been drawn. They got guns and tanks and planes. The wells are gone dry and the water is bad, and the air is acid rain. There's war after war and rumors of war from the east. There's a rumbling in the ground, and they're talking about the beast. Good mother's cry calls, the rivers run high with the blood of too many sons. Some people say peace is on the way, but the worst is still to come. 'Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book.
cities and the missiles stand ready for flight. A pale horse rides like the wind across the night. And that rumbling in the desert like thunder getting closer. Are the trumpets getting ready to blow? There's gonna be a shout that will wake the dead. We better be ready to go. 'Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book.
Welcome to the Watchman for Jesus program this afternoon, brought to you by a bunch of us working together, network. That's what it kind of boils down to. Family, tonight, this afternoon, I'm going to talk about the suicide of the troops. And a little bit about the suicide issue that we're going to cover today. I got a lot of stuff to cover. A lot of stuff to cover about this particular issue. And I'm probably going to go into part one and part two today even. We'll go into that. Because I'll do it kind of in two segments in the same afternoon. Well, that's this afternoon. And I'll more than likely have a break in between in order to set it up to where I can record both parts of it at the same time. It gets a little sticky, but I work it out. Now, okay, 1 second when I get started here, because once I get cranking, we're going to start talking about this issue about 44% increase of suicides in the U.S. military. My contention is that these are being manufactured, set up, and orchestrated. So that's my mission today, to show you how it's being done. And this is hard for some people to really kind of wrap their minds around as to why it's being accomplished in this fashion. It's hard for people to believe that this would be actually orchestrated. But it is. And it goes back a long time ago. And you have all these events taking place in the news today. And you can just about guarantee all of them are connected to one conspiracy, actually. And that is also difficult to explain to people, but there is a way to do it. Now, I have everything I talk about, for example, I've done a study on, or my own study that I've put together in packages. So I just don't talk off the top of my head. I talk off the top of my head, but I use these packages I put together, you see, that verifies everything I say. Now, I don't cover all my sources when I talk, because I'd be here for 4 hours if I were to do that. So what I do is if someone was to challenge it, it's not a problem. I would just send them the references and they make up their own mind. And that's kind of how it works. And I've got dozens and dozens of packages that I have put together. You know, a little saying. John Bunyan I didn't say Paul Bunyan. John Bunyan was a renowned English Puritan preacher and author. He made his views on suicide clear in his famous allegory called The Pilgrim's Progress. The main character, Christian, and his companion, Hopeful, are kind of held prisoner in Doubting Castle. Hopeful responds this way to Christian's desire to die. He that kills another can but commit murder upon his own body. But for one to kill himself is to kill body and soul at once. But let us not be our own murderers. That is profound. I'll talk about what a Christian view of suicide is and what does the Bible say about suicide. But I also want to, and it's going to be complex, and I'll tell you, it's complex, and I'm telling you ahead of time because I got to put some things together as I go along. And my script is in my head, and then I put other things together to make it work out. You understand? Because this is a very complex thing I'm talking about today. I want to simplify. To talk about specifically suicide, talk about how it relates to young vet suicide rate is today alarming. Paper, January 10th to 12th, in USA Today. So it's up to date. But only now are they starting to say, oh, the suicide rate is alarming. Family's always been alarming. So now they're raising the flag why it's alarming, and they're giving false reasons why it's occurring. They tell you the symptoms, the outlining possibilities, but not tell you the real reason. I'm going to tell you today the real reason and why my outlandish claim that it's being orchestrated could be substantiated. Why the Illuminati is focused on the destruction, elimination, disruption of the U.S. military. Now that they've used this, since actually building us up 1865, 1897, and the false flag and the sinking of the Maine, oh, that's a fact, absolute fact, to the false flag of the Lusitania, that's another proven fact, to the false flag of Pearl Harbor, absolutely, all the way up to Korea, how we made sure that communists stayed in control of China by blockading Chiang Kai-shek by design. State Department ordered the 7th Fleet to blockade the free Chinese from taking communist China. That's a fact, according to MacArthur. You want to argue with MacArthur, he's dead, but he's got a memoirs that will confirm it. And there's other historians confirm what he said. And how the planned defeat of Korea, the planned defeat of Vietnam, and I have testimony, that a fact, and how all these, that the destruction of the U.S. military began in 1960 with Agent Orange, that was the purpose of it, with the providing of the specification plans for glycerol factory in 1966 given to the Russians by a military industrial complex in order they could build a glycerol factory in Russia to provide glycerol to the VC in 1966-67, which accounted for 50% of American casualties. 50% of American casualties. American CEOs provided the complete specifications for glycerol factory to Russia. Glycerol was provided from Russia to the VC to make their booby traps because glycerol is a detonator. And they want to make sure that our military was defanged beginning in 1960. That was operation plan in four phases. Fact. Why? Bottom line, to prepare us for the New World Order. Because they know our military, trained as it was, World War I, World War II, up to Korea, up to that point, could take on any military in this entire world, including Europe, any military could not stand up to the Illuminati's military force. That was the United States. We never knew that Edward Bernays was one of the psychologists to manage manufacturing consent of fighting for democracy and liberty back in World War I, World War II, was a farce. They lied to us, and I will prove that. You see, this is a Luciferian conspiracy. The enemy is the secret societies, the Jesuits, the Illuminati, Roman, Italian, German, the elite on both shores, America and Europe, Japan, China, Africa, Russia, Scandinavia, all one bloodline, and they're Luciferian. This is the enemy. Fact, not speculation. So the secret societies at the highest level have declared war on mankind going back before the 1700s until today. All wars have been manufactured. That's a fact. The enemies have been manufactured. That's a fact. You see, it's nothing like the history books have said, and the evidence is virtually irrefutable. Now, you can deny all you want, but your beliefs do not establish the reality. And the evidence slam dunks anything you want to believe. Lord, today we come before you in prayer. In the name of your Son, Jesus, we pray, Father, to guide us today in this broadcast. And Lord, guide us all, Father, that we seek the truth, no matter what it is. That, Lord, you'll open our minds and hearts to the truth with the Holy Spirit. And Father, to guide us along, when you give us divine appointments, Lord, that we'll witness the love of Jesus to those. And Father, to be able to preach the gospel when the time comes. That, Father, you'll put upon our hearts, even if we don't have a Bible, Father, that you'll put upon our hearts the words to speak and the time we have to speak it. Father, we pray for our brethren. We pray for our family members that's been injected with these flu vaccines. It's got the aluminum in it and all these chemicals. It's caused dementia, caused Alzheimer. All these diseases are being caused by design. Lord, we pray upon you. We pray to you. Lord, you send your Holy Spirit down here. Take your Holy Spirit, Lord. We pray that you'll heal, Father, if it be your will, that you heal these that have been affected by these chemicals and this agenda that they've had, that, Father, you'll heal them through their healing, Lord, that your name will be glorified. That, Lord, that it'll bring families together and cause people of all cultures, countries, to come together to defeat the forces of Satan. That, Father, we know that in the end, only Jesus will defeat them. But, Father, to give us the opportunity that we'll be able to witness to others about the love of Jesus will cause conversions away from this Luciferian agenda and to take Jesus Christ as their Savior. We pray, Father, for our servicemen, that, Father, they'll know who the real enemy is. And, Father, the only love that's around is, Father, through Jesus Christ, that there's no other way. Father, we pray that you'll give the courage to those military personnel, those military leaders, political leaders, to finally step away from their blood oath of the secret societies. And, Father, to renounce it and start telling the truth. Father, we pray that they'll start telling the truth to their families and get out of these secret lodges and get out of these organizations and movements and whatever. That, Father, they'll seek the name of Jesus and live and bring the families back together and prepare for those days of the tribulation yet to come. Father, we pray that you bring courage. You'll send courage throughout this land, Father, that people will seek the truth in the King James Bible. That, Father, you'll put courage in the hearts of those preachers, priests, rabbis, to step away from their religion and get with Jesus. Father, we need that anointing, that spirit to come down. Father, we call upon you to tear away the protection of the Illuminati, to tear away the protection, the cover of the secret societies. Father, to put a delay in their plans, if that be your will. So, Father, we'd be able to witness to others. But, Father, to get us through these times that's ready to happen, we pray that you'll anoint those, Father, that you have brought up to spread the true word and the true gospel. And prepare us for these end times. And that's why, Father, we pray in the name of your Son, Jesus. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Family, you know, I've tried on occasion. I live in a small town. One Main Street, Mount Airy, Andy Griffinville, whatever. Andy Griffin here. They've, you know, used that as the tourist thing going on. They, you know the story there. In any case, I bring these issues up when I go out and do things just to see what people say. And I use the YouTube and I use this Facebook and whatever just to poke people. Call it trolling if you want, whatever. But I poke people to find out what they're coming back with. And I use this as practice. You know what I mean? So I want to know what the COINTELPRO guys, the NSA boys, they hire, what, 30 years old, 25 years old, little runny-nosed kids out of college. They sit there, paid by the NSA, paid by COINTELPRO, sitting there trying to dissuade people from the truth on the YouTube and pretend with certain names like they're some kind of 007. They do the same thing with truck drivers that are former military or need a job, whatever, and they bring them in the underground military bases where they're delivering goods and equipment and so forth, and show them films, show them chambers, show them certain things. Ooh, ah, wow. Say, now look, you can be a part of this or not. So how you want to be? So they use them to gather intelligence out in the United States when they do their travels. The best intel gathering you can imagine. So they play their little game of being 007, make friends with people, gain intelligence, gain phone numbers, find out who's this, that, and the other, and Facebook accounts and all this, and deliver it to the NSA. They're a bunch of traitors, and they're a bunch of, I don't know, they have no courage and a lot of cowardly action. They used to be maybe brave at one time, but now they're cowardly because they're afraid of what they were shown. I say stuff it. Because Jesus Christ is going to win. He already won. He's coming back. And there's no way possible the Illuminati will win this. No way possible Satan and fallen angels will win this. And there's no such thing as aliens. That's absolute total nonsense. And ascended masters are nothing more than these fallen angels that are going to be made public in the not so distant future. Who knows when? Don't know when. Well, in the meantime, here's the point. And Bill Cooper already talked about this, that America was the last standing bastion against the Illuminati. Now, Bill Cooper was Illuminati. He was somehow linked up to the bloodline. Yes, sir. But he went against them, like John Todd did. Both of them were bloodline. But they were also against the Illuminati toward the end, and Bill Cooper became born-again Christian. John Todd became born-again Christian. How about that? Both were murdered by the same folks that murdered Martin Luther King, JFK, Malcolm X, Bobby Kennedy, the same ones that murdered McKinley, the same ones that murdered Lincoln, all the way back, that be the secret societies. Each gaining knowledge and intelligence as we go along, each decade, each new discovery, enhancing their skills. But they've never been able to make deadlines, have they? No, they have not. But they've formed three world wars, two have already happened, one getting ready to, eventually down the road. Here's the point again. In order for this new world order to take place, the Illuminati has used all this time the United States as its military power since 1897. Got control of us between 1789, well actually 1776 when we lost the Revolutionary War, to 1789 they gained control, and then beginning in 1897 They had to build up the U.S. military with the false flag of the sinking of the Maine. And that began the justification to build a military for the Vatican to start World War I, World War II, and all the banana wars before. I'll prove this shortly. This is the summary of what's been happening. So build us up. Build strong the family. Build strong the military. Build strong the sovereignty, the patriotism. That was Edward Barclay's plan. The Illuminati's plan of manufacturing consent. You have to have a strong family to have a strong country. That's a fact. This is irrefutable evidence, irrefutable strategy they use in this chess game. To use the U.S. military, the United States as a fighting arm, the Vatican as a religious arm, and Rome as the religious arm, and England as a financial arm, and the U.S. military as their military strong arm force all along the road. That's the three parts. Now they got to cut us out. United States military got to be cut down to bring in the new. Now, our own leaders are part of this. Every single one of them. And the ones that want to do good were murdered. Larry McDonald, JFK, you got the point. So England, the financial. Rome, the religious. United States, the debt collector. Under the disguise of democracy. And this has always been. And this is a fact that's provable. Now, so now, since 1960, in a four-phase project to take down the U.S. military, they began with Korea and Vietnam. Everything from Agent Orange, the glycerol factory, Gulf War syndrome, the suicides, here we go. All of this, sending women frontline units to fight along with men, that was happening this year. I mean, the no, don't ask, don't tell, homosexual being allowed in the military, all this is used to divide. It's all part, and I've proven that over and over and over. Ruth Bader Ginsburg confirms this in her own little report. It's all come together. They've got to defang us. They have 257 foreign trade zones, Chinese sovereign territory in the United States today. None of your leaders are talking about that, your Ron Pauls and your all these other, I mean, none of them, because they're all part of it. They're all liars. Your generals, political leaders are all part of the Knights of Malta, Knights of Columbus. Freemasons on the highest level, or against Freemasons on the lowest level. They're members of the Council of Foreign Relations. That is the Illuminati. Right there it is. You can call a jersey a cow, but they're both the same thing. You see? And the Royal Institute of International Affairs is the Illuminati in Europe over Chatham House. Fact. And every single country that's part of this has their own international relations group, even Canada, the CIIA, Canadian International Institute of Affairs. Oh, I remembered it. Every country's got one Illuminati under that control. And your presidents, our presidents, have been directors of the Council of Foreign Relations. Oh, I could give you a whole list of them. You all understand how this is? This is Joint Chief of Staff. They're not for the military. They're for their blood oath to the secret societies. They're part of this killing spree of our soldiers. The Joint Chief of Staff. Now, I can't tell you whether they do a lobotomy at a colonel level or what, but they get some kind of lobotomy or something, or maybe they take a blood oath. Something's wrong with them because they have a connection with Council of Foreign Relations. I've talked to you all about that before. Seven of the members in 1993 were actual card-carrying members of the Council of Foreign Relations. I mean, when you say I'm a member of the Council of Foreign Relations, you might as well say I'm a member of the Council of Foreign Relations and Illuminati, and I worship Lucifer. And that's a fact. You see? 11 top-ranking officials in 1993 of the Defense Department was members of the Council of Foreign Relations. 7 top-ranking members of the Joint Chief of Staff were card-carrying members of Illuminati. Ruth Bader Ginsburg, Sandra Day O'Connor were members of Illuminati and the judicial branch. I mean, I could give you a whole list of the names right here. I got over 300 names. I can tell you the whole lot of them. Y'all getting the point here? All right. Deaths occurred, suicides, at near 3 times the rate of those on active duty. You see, young veterans just out of the service and receiving health care from the government committed suicide at 3 times the rate of active duty troops in recent years. And this is according to new data released Thursday, this past week, by Department of Veterans Affairs. That'd be yesterday. Is that soon enough for you? VA officials, they're saying the data show that severe personal issues are driving the self-destructive tendencies that those in uniform follow them when they leave the military. The figures were released through USA Today, public records request. Now, these rates, or they say, are alarming. And the group of young veterans appears to be in some trouble, says this one named Janet Kemp, head of the Department's Suicide Prevention Program. You know they have a nose spray, anti-suicide nose spray? How come a Joint Chief of Staff member said, you got to be kidding me about this nonsense, and slam his fist on the table, stand up, and have some kind of guts about him, but they have no guts up there? They just sit because they're under a blood oath to sit there. That's why. They say the Army struggled with suicide among active duty troops more than other service branches during the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. And the risk persists after soldiers return to civilian life. What they don't say are the nanobot technology, the materials that's inside the vaccines of about 26 or more vaccines they get before they even go overseas. 20 plus shots in the arm or wherever they shoot them with it. Now, when I was military, Marine Corps, didn't have all those. You had like 8 or 10 or something. I didn't like them at all. Fighting wasn't a problem. Getting shot with a little needle drove me crazy. Hated those things. But today it's like 5 times the number of vaccinations. Why? Because they figure if they kill our troops before they get into war with troops in here, already here in America, the Chinese are already here, thanks to Carter and Clinton and Reagan. Chinese troops were already let in since 1978. Oh, yeah. You see how it works? They're Luciferians. They're not Americans. All our presidents have been bloodline members of the Merovingian bloodline. Every one of our presidents. This is a Luciferian conspiracy. Fact. The presidents at the highest level of military, they don't know what patriotism is. They just spout it off just to placate the American public. Once they take that blood oath with the secret societies, they're cooked. Their soul is going to hell till they renounce it. This is what's going to happen. That's a promise. Bible confirms it. Talked about that yesterday. All this is connected. Veterans ages 18 to 24 years old enrolled in the VA's health program kill themselves at a rate of 46 per 100,000 in 2009 and nearly 80 per 100,000 in 2011. It doubled. The latest year of data available, according to the figures, Family, today there are 22 suicides per day. Per day, Joint Chief of Staff, bunch of cowards. 22 suicides per day. That's not accidental. That's not just the individuals commit suicide because they can't deal with it. No, it is being orchestrated. Nanobot technology. Voices in the head called voice to skull. Go on my website, watchmanforjesus.com. Do it or don't. It's up to you. But watchmanforjesus.com, and you'll find in the margin on the right-hand side, I call it the Suicide Conspiracy, Part 1 and Part 2. I was able to download that and put it up there, and you can read it yourself if you want to. Or you can deny it, or you can run away, whatever. But I'm not backing down because it's true. It's being orchestrated. That's my contention. And this destruction of the U.S. military goes back to 1960 in preparation to set us up for the North American continent as part of the New World Order. You got it? Non-veterans at the same age had a suicide rate during 2009 and 10 and about 20 per 100,000. That's according to CDC and prevention. 36 young veterans receiving some form of VA health care committed suicide in 2009, and 65 died by their own hands 2 years later. Among those in broader age group, 18 to 29 years of age, the suicide numbers rose from 88, good Lord, to 152 in 2011. 152 was in 2011. That's twice. Now, the overall number of soldier suicides peaked at 185 in 2012. And it was a record rate for the Army that year, about 30 per 100,000. But they haven't got 2013 yet. This guy named Kemp, he says there are analysis that shows that most of them was not receiving mental health therapy, but was treated for other health issues. I guess they hadn't had the anti-suicide nose spray yet. Look it up right now as we're talking. You want to? Look up the nose spray for anti-suicide. Is that stupid or what? Joint Chief of Staff, what are you doing? What's wrong with you? This one says, she says that they're young. They're just gotten out of service. She says they're most concentrated on going home, getting jobs for the most part, and they're not coming in for mental health care. Of course, what they're not telling you is about the nanobot technology in the vaccines. They're not telling you about the chemicals they put in those darn things. They're not telling you it's being orchestrated. They come up with all these other reasons that this is nonsense. A positive sign in the new data, Kemp says, is suicide rates for male veterans of all ages who are diagnosed and treated have fallen steadily between 2001 and 2011. They're talking about therapy. Mm-hmm. That's their report on it. But also, in the military, you talk about current date reports of sexual assault dip at military academies, they say. Yet they don't tell you about the increase of sexual assault in U.S. military today. Now they're going to bring women to frontline units. Somebody got to do something. Somebody out there with a lot of power who doesn't have a black heart and taking a blood oath, not paid off, who's got a little bit of courage about him, got a little bit of... Because you're going to lose. Secret societies, you will lose. Because Illuminati, at the highest level, they are going to kill you. And they're going to kill your families too. Because they're planning to do that. I'm warning you. This is their plan. If you separate yourself from them now, you got God on your side. You renounce that blood oath and get out of there. It's not going to look good on your career because they will fire you. That's your friends for you. The ones that say, we're going to take care of you, you come on up and why don't you come to Lodge today? They don't have the power. The ones at deep underground military bases, they will be destroyed. They have no hope of survival because God is sovereign. It is a supernatural war that we're in. This is a game they're playing. It's a very dangerous game, too. And it's coming around. So this increase of suicide, all of a sudden, it's nothing like World War I, World War II, even Vietnam. No. This is massive. You think it's because of lack of therapy? You got to be kidding me. It doesn't just happen for nothing. It's the drugs they put in those vaccines. It's the formaldehyde, the thimerosal, the aluminum they have in the vaccines. You get 5 to 10. I talked about this yesterday. I've got the broadcast about vaccines on my website. It's hard to send this thing out by email. It's not as easy as I thought it was because somehow or another, because it's like 22 megabytes or whatever the heck it is, it won't go through some places. So I did download it, and you can go to my website, free of charge. It's all free. I don't charge nothing for nothing. You just go there, you click it, and you listen. Or don't listen. Now, if you want to hide, go on hide. You want to deny it, go on ahead and do that. But it's going to sneak up on you and bite you while you ain't looking. What can I do about it? You can pray. Get closer to God because that is the control, that is the power behind your power comes from Jesus. They don't have any power yet. Right now, the Illuminati, the Council of Foreign Relations, the Rolling Institute of National Affairs, all these secret society members, blah, 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 the whole lot of them are being placated before they're going to be slaughtered. Slaughtered, what do you mean slaughtered? Well, easy. Between 1873 and 1901, a lecture was given for the Protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion, which was a Jesuit document. And it tells them in chapter 15, look at it if you will, or don't if you don't. I don't matter. But it's up to you if you do. I highly recommend you do, because it's real. Everything that they say there has come true. You can say it's a farce. You can say it's only Jewish or whatever nonsense they've taught you, but it's not. It's Luciferian. It came to the Jesuits, called the Protocols, and Learned Elders of Zion, in chapter 15. I say again, chapter 15, Roman numeral XV. And it tells you what's going to happen to Freemasons and all those who know too much. That is their plan. As a matter of fact, Psalms 34:21 in the Bible confirms, and evil shall slay the wicked. It's already not only in Scripture, but it's also in their planning process because the Scripture has warned you. And there's no stopping it. So they think by killing all the Jews, going back to 1885, 1897, when it all started, they can avoid the 144,000. And they can avoid, they think, the Jews, the Jewish conspiracy, that they can stop this slaughter of Freemasons when they have control. But that's the lies that are being told. You better look into it. Because it's going to happen. This is not speculation. I'm telling you right now. Ask the Holy Spirit to let me speak today and to help me along with this because it's not going to be easy. I got a small crowd. I don't have 200 people, 100 people or 1,000 into that. I got a pretty nice crowd today, but it's not gigantic. Well, I got to think about that one day and I realized, wait a minute, where'd you get your information? I said, well, researched, talking to myself, of course. Research too, and I got a list of like 20 authors that are good, researchers who are good. I said, wait a minute, they wrote books, I'm reading them. That's their research, it's slam dunk. And yet, nobody's done anything to date. It's not for all. A lot of people will ignore, will deny, will run away, will hide, put their head in the sand, or think they're actually going to win if at that level. It's for those with ears to hear, touched by the Holy Spirit to prepare. I am a watchman, like there's many others. But it's my responsibility to know what I know, to shout it out to whoever's going to hear, no matter what. Psalms 34:21, evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. Better take heed to that, because that will happen. Satan, once he uses you, he's going to kill you. That's a fact. Suicide. What does the Bible say about suicide? Now, I'm going to just weed my way through here. And I hope it kind of falls in place, because in my head right now, I'm putting it into place. I have a plan, but sometimes my plan goes another direction because I just let God lead me on these. I jump out at it, boom. And then he sometimes moves me over here, moves me over there. This is what happens. But you know, the Bible talks about six specific people who committed suicide. Amalek in Judges 9:54. Saul, 1 Samuel 31, verse 4. I'm not going to go over all these verses because I'll be here for the next 3 hours. Saul's armor bearer committed suicide, 1 Samuel 31, from 4 to 6. Antiphel, forgive me if I don't pronounce these names right, but I'm a southern boy. Y'all understand what I mean? Those vowels, man, kick my butt. And those silent letters, I just hate those things. I always said if they have a silent H or a silent B, just leave the darn thing out. If it's silent, leave it out, but they don't do that. 2 Samuel 17, verse 23. Zimri, 1 Kings 16, verse 18, and Judas. Oh, y'all know about that, don't you? They try to say that the Bible's conflictive about Judas's death, that one, he jumped from the ledge and didn't commit suicide by hanging. None of them said, well, he hung himself. Well, what it is there, real quick, is there's two different perspectives of his hanging. Because he hung there for a while, and when your body rigor mortises, when it has rigor mortis, at a certain point of deterioration, parts of the body fall off. And he fell. When he fell, he split his guts out all over the bottom. When he fell. So both are correct. It's just the time frame that's reported in the Bible. Some even considers, for example, that five of these men were noted for their wickedness. The exception is Saul's armor bearer, though. But nobody talks about his character. Some think about Samson as an instance of suicide because he knew his action would lead to his death. But his goal was to kill the Philistines, not himself. There's a big difference there. That's God's business, not mine. But the Bible itself views suicide as equal to murder, which is what it is, self-murder. God is the only one who's to decide when and how a person should die. Go to Psalms 31:15. That one is significant. Psalms 31:15. Says, I quote, "My times are My times are in thy hand. Deliver me from the hand of mine enemies and from them that persecute me." So your Chuck Baldwins and all these others are fomenting Rick Joyner. Well, both. General Boykin, all these other so-called generals, the White Hats, whatever, and they're working together with the secret societies to form some sort of revolution, which is impossible to happen because it be the evil winning over the evil. Some of them actually below the level believe themselves to be prudent, but they're being fooled. Secret societies have sworn an oath of allegiance against mankind. So what they want to do is justify martial law, just like they did in 1776, 1859, 1933, but didn't succeed. 1962, it didn't succeed. 1972, it didn't succeed. Their ideas was to foment revolution to justify martial law. That succeeded in 1776. As to why the Freemasons set up for the king, the revolution, to justify military action. That was the whole purpose of it. They didn't tell him about the coronation oath. No, they didn't tell him about that on purpose. That's another story. Suicide. See, God is the giver of life. He gives, he takes away. He puts a nation with its leaders. If you don't, you have anarchy. It's not our choice whether we follow them or not. God's in control. And if the culture, the people, are not following him, he will put a despotic government in control of them. That's a fact. He did with Israel. He'll do it with us. And he did when 1776, he sure did. So you say, we don't have to do what the despotic government tells us to do. What are you going to do? Put another one in charge? How stupid is that? Real dumb. Because that's what they're going to do. And the ones below, they don't know that. God's the giver of life. He gives, he takes away. Job 1:21. Suicide is the taking of one's own life, is ungodly because it rejects God's gift of life. No man or woman should presume to take God's authority upon themselves in his or their own life. What are they driving for today? Euthanasia, Belgium, and Oregon of young children can decide to die if they're handicapped. Older folks that's been given those darn vaccines that's got the thermisterol, the formaldehyde, the aluminum in it, that's given them over a period of 5 to 10 shots over their lifetime, dementia and Alzheimer's. That's where it's coming from. I go to a rest home to see a family member every now and then. Well, it's more than every now and then. And you walk by all these old folks, it's like, wow, man, they're like gone. And now that I know the reason why, it really infuriates me. Maybe that's, I don't know, it's a learning experience right now because I've never really fronted with it up close and personal. Now I have. I see it. And I asked the member, I said, did the other family member get a vaccine shot? Answer was yes. Here in Mount Airy, people don't know about this stuff. They're living their lives in a little country town, and they have no clue about what we're talking about today. They go to these churches to be placated using corrupted NIV, New American Standard Bibles. The ones that are using King James are using the doctrine of the Calvinist or preterist or what they're ordered to do, controlled to do by the 501c3 churches. Lukewarm, watered down, unbalanced messages. Which church do you go? I said, I don't. Well, you should be with others. I said, no, I don't want to because the preachers are lying out there or they're just plain lazy. God's going to take care of that, though. You can rest assured. But suicide is taking your own life in your own hands. And euthanasia is in the health care bill. They're coming up with the international rights of the child by the UN peace UN treaty. We failed to sign it, thank God, 1989. Witch Hazel, Hillary Clinton, and that group, tried to pass the health care bill. It's not Obama. Obama's just carrying through what he's ordered to do like everybody else, all the way back to FDR. Oh, that's another story. Oh, I've got evidence and everything. I'm just going to remind you about this. It's not off the top of my head. Those of my regular listeners, you've heard it dozens of times. Well, you're going to hear some things today you haven't heard and some things that you have heard. Back in, when was it? 1989, I believe it was. The health care, the International Rights of the Child Bill came up before Congress, and they refused to sign it. Well, good for them, finally. Is a threat to the American family. November the 20th, 1989, UN General Assembly approved the United Nations Convention on the Rights of the Child. The 20th nation ratified the treaty September the 2nd, 1990. So the treaty is in force. But the United States did not sign the convention. And there had been pressure from Hillary Clinton and others to ratify the international nightmare. She spoke frequently at the Council of Foreign Relations. And she confirms in one of her speeches that they tell the government what to do. Because it is the government. The Illuminati is the government. Controlled by Europe. The treaty gives further ownership of all children to the state and the United Nations. So what they got to do is show you with cases on the news and media or make them up where children's rights are being abused. Some of them are. Some of them are made up and fabricated on the news. That's what the news is for. Well, before I move on, I probably have some new listeners today. I'm one that says put up or shut up. So in March of 1915, J.P. Morgan, interest, steel shipbuilding, powder interest, gunpowder, subsidiary organizations, got together 12 men high up in the newspaper world and employed them to select the most influential newspapers in the United States. This is Congressional Record, 1915. They found it was only necessary to purchase the control of 25 of the major newspapers. They furnished an editor, which is done to this very day. An editor was furnished for each paper to properly supervise, edit information regarding any questions of preparedness, militarism, financial policies, other things of national and international nature, considered vital to the interests of the purchasers. And that policy, according to congressional records, included suppression of everything in opposition to the wishes of the interest served. Unquote. Congressional records. What some of them included? ABC, CNN, CBS, NBC, Associated Press, Dow Jones, Wall Street Journal, New York Times Company, Newsweek, Washington Post, Reader's Digest, Time, Syndicated Columnist, Georgia Ann Guy was part of this back in the 1990s. These are facts. They control all the media. So as technology increased, television, radio, internet, it all got put under the control of the Council of Foreign Relations. Everything. By the way, they still lose in the end. But suicide is just one little aspect. And their thoughts, based on the evidence I have, that these suicides are being orchestrated using technology, the vaccines, nanobot technology, which I proved yesterday, report that it's old. It's like 20 years old. But they say it's recent. Bill Gates is talking about the nanobot technology coming in the future. It's 20 years old, the technology. 30, actually. Microchips in the pills. That was approved like 6 months ago. Well, that means they've been doing it for 20 plus years. These are documented, man. This is not even a theory. voices in the skull. It's common knowledge. If you do research, it's a fact. Going back to suicide, you know, there's some people in Scripture, they felt a deep despair in life. When you're at your weakest moment, Satan, and when you say Satan, you're including millions of demons that's all connected and attached. They have one mind. This is the supernatural world that people are not taking into account. When you make an aberration to your body, when you make that's what I got that for. Okay, a friend of mine sent me, I see now. I didn't count on this. There you go. I got an article someone sent me about a few minutes ago. Millions of Christians need to learn about the vaccine dangers and how vaccines are contaminating their DNA. The DNA heritage, your family line, is at risk of extinction. And this person here that's giving report says, I know this sounds crazy. Does that sound familiar? But you need to read on so you can understand. And the thing about it that I've been saying myself all along, and here's another one, is these vaccines with the nanobot technology confirmed. All these chemicals in it changes DNA. By changing DNA, it weakens the body. It's against God's creation, allowing demonic activity to come inside your body. You understand? You go against God's creation, it opens up portals in your body. That may be hard for some people to take, but that's exactly what goes on. So by changing DNA, it opens up to possession. By the nanobot technology, the mark of the beast. Family, the mark of the beast has been set up since the day they created money, back in the days of Pharaohs or Caesar, to get you as human beings used to paying money, whatever it is, to the day he knew, because Satan has no wisdom, no discernment, but he's got a lot of knowledge, and he's eternal. So the mark of the beast, where the Seventh-day Adventists are totally wrong, is not Sunday worship. It's nonsense. The mark of the beast is nothing more than the tattoo by buying and selling. So you've been used to buying and selling for generations upon generations. God don't have money in his kingdom. No need for money. Satan does. So you've been set up for thousands of years to receive, to do exchanges by money. Now they take the money away. What do you use? Now they got it. It's called a tattoo. It's called a RFID chip. Technology Satan's got now. Y'all understand what I'm saying here? It's all set up. That's the mark of the beast. When it says you cannot buy or sell, what's Sunday worship got to do with buying and selling, Seventh-day Adventists? You got to be kidding me. Family, all this has tried to distract you from the truth. Suicide. In 1 second. Now, suicide goes back to the Bible. It's what I'll stay focused on. All these are rabbit trails I sometimes take. You know, the Solomon, in the pursuit of pleasure, reached a point where he hated life. You'll find that in Ecclesiastes 2, verse 17. I'd say 700 wives and 300 concubines caused a whole lot of trouble. You know why he did that? One of the reasons, besides the pleasure part of it, was to gain the knowledge of the ancients. Because every wife he procured, that's 1,000, man. 700 wives and 300 concubines? You call them what you want, that's 1,000 women. All different nationalities. Well, they were all of royalty. You see, he acquired the secret scrolls, books, knowledge. That was his thirst, was for knowledge. To gain the knowledge. So he was indwelled with a demonic entity, with a super, with avatar. He was like possessed. He had to been. Together, all the knowledge together. Your ancient mystery religions. Satan works on the weakest part of us. He did with Solomon as well. You know, Elijah was fearful, depressed, and he yearned for death. Even Elijah did. 1 Kings 19:4. Jonah? He was so angry at God that he wished to die. Jonah 4, verse 8. Even the Apostle Paul, missionary. They were companions at one point. They were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to really endure. So we despaired of life itself. 2 Corinthians 1, verse 8. It's not uncommon. But none of these men committed suicide. Solomon learned to fear God and keep his commandments. So that's our duty anyway. Ecclesiastes 12, verse 13. Elijah was comforted by an angel. Allowed to rest, given a new commission. Jonah, he received admonishment, rebuked from God. I guess you could say puked up by a fish, too. You know, Paul that learned that although the pressure he faced was beyond his ability to endure, the Lord can bear all things. 2 Corinthians 1, verse 9. This happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. So these truthers, those that's got the bug out bag, got your freeze dried food in the basement, got your 10,000 rounds of ammo and all that stuff, and your 50 caliber machine gun on your roof, and playing out in the woods and going to cut up deer and all this sort of thing. And so is everybody else too, by the way. Don't take into account the helter-skelter they've got planned, and not taking into account the mercenaries that's going to hit the Ozarks like you had never believed. Oh, they believe they're going to take them on. They forget about bunker busters. They forget about the laser. They forget about their own soldiers working against them, of what's left of our own soldiers. Now you get what I'm talking about. So they figure they can take out our soldiers, not with Chinese or Russian bullets, but from vaccines. You know, they can deliver an electrical shock anywhere in the world to anyone with an implant on them. Did y'all know that? You know when they could do that? Back in 1973. I got the studies on it. Don't tell me no. You can tell me no if you want, but you'll lose because I've got the studies. They're available to you if you want them. If you don't, that's okay too. Family, it's all true what I'm telling you. You know the swine flu vaccines linked to nerve condition? You know that they're even asking the troops if they want to put a plant implant in their body? You know that 7,800 servicemen are suing DOD and CIA for the septal implants in their noses that they found? 7,800? Come on now. You know they have the implants in the pills, in the vaccines? In my book, that's kind of a problem. And a little bit of suspect, too, I would think. You understand? You kind of get an idea of why they want our military personnel taken out? Because they know we could kick the butt out of any service, any other military that comes into our country. The guns we have. But now, how in the world can a militia, how in the world can the White Hats with any kind of so-called military force with a false hope of bringing our republic back and our democracy and all that sort of thing, with 22 suicides per day? Are they not getting proper briefings, or is it because the Joint Chief of Staff are keeping it secret and that people are not making these connections? So according to the Bible, suicide is a sin. It's not the greatest sin. It is no worse than other evils, although it is pretty permanent. You know, in terms of how God sees it, actually it doesn't determine whether or not a person goes to hell. But if you commit murder, what do you think about that? Suicide definitely has a deep and lasting impact on those left behind. What's the greatest sin? Is blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. So, whether or not you commit self-murder, you're bound to hell. I think that lies in God's realm. Does he know this is going to happen to the individual? And he sends a divine appointment to stop him? Or the thought of suicide is stopped before it happens? Or what happens? Is there some condition or some part of the person that committed suicide that God would save him anyway? I can't answer that point. That's the way over my pay grade. That's God's pay grade. According to the Bible, suicide's a sin. But no worse than other evils. That in terms of how God sees it. So I'm not at the point of saying you commit suicide, you're for sure going to hell. I really can't say that. That's in God's business. But in the Bible, it's a sin. The painful scars left behind by suicide do not heal easily. You say, may God grant his grace to each one who's facing these trials today. Everyone who calls in the name of the Lord will be saved. There's even a song about that. So if a Christian commits suicide, are they still saved? Phew. That's a touchy subject, isn't it? There's some Christians that have committed suicide. I talked to a couple the other day. Of course, I'm not going in detail, but one in particular, because of a particular situation I knew was in their life, we'll leave it like that, without becoming too personal with them, I said, you know what I'm going to do tomorrow on broadcast? And they said, what? And I said, I'm going to talk about suicide. And I could have looked at them kind of askance. They kind of looked at me kind of askance back. I said, how'd you know? I said, well, how'd I know what? I was thinking about it. And I said, well, you know, I don't know. These things kind of come up. Because of the family situation of another family member, the person was thinking they might not be able to make it if the other person doesn't make it. You understand? So I kind of knew this person, and I knew that they were thinking. They'd rather be gone than have to deal with the death of this other family member. God talks to us. We just got to be open to it. Does that lift the door open for me to talk about it? It's called divine appointment. All of you go through a divine appointments every day. Just got to be able to pick up on it. You know, adding to the tragedy is a false teaching that committed suicide automatically consigns one to hell. Many people believe that a Christian who commits suicide will not be saved, and this teaching's not entirely supported by the Bible. It's a little confusing. Scripture teaches that from the moment we truly believe in Christ, we're guaranteed eternal life. John 3:16. According to the Bible, Christians can know beyond any doubt that they possess eternal life. But my contention to this thought process is that if you thought for a second, and God knows, if we thought, well, if I commit suicide, I'm born again, I'm tired of living with this, right? So you say, well, I'm just going to kill myself and see God sooner. I think there's a problem there. You ask yourself, are you really saved in the first place? It's like, once saved, always saved. Oh, that's another discussion. That's a significant doctrine with and without certain theological organizations that you can lose your salvation. Someone says, well, no, you can't. Others say you can. Back and forth. Nothing can separate a Christian from God's love. Romans 8:38-39. No created thing can separate Christian from God's love, and even a Christian commits suicide is a created thing. Well, you think that not even suicide could separate a Christian from God's love. Jesus died for all our sins. If a true Christian in a time of spiritual attack or weakness, he actually commits suicide, his sin would it still be covered by the blood of Jesus? Well, there is a really touchy subject, because if he commits suicide, was he saved in the first place? You see? That's my thoughts on it. When you read the Bible, some places, suicide's not what determines whether a person gains entrance into heaven. If an unsaved person commits suicide, he's done nothing but expedite his journey to hell. However, a person who commits suicide will ultimately be in hell for rejecting salvation through Christ. You see, there it comes, the idea that were you saved in the first place. Should also point out to talk about that no one truly knows what's happening in a person's heart the moment they die. Some people have deathbed conversions. Anton LaVey had a deathbed revelation. He's going to hell. His own words before he died. Others is a deathbed confession. And that, as a matter of fact, in my studies on the Illuminati, that's one thing they're afraid of. That's why toward the end of the use of the president, the CEO, or the scientist, whatever is involved in Illuminati, they want to shuffle them to some other place. They got certain settlements, certain towns. They put them in certain places, underground shelters, whatever, luxurious, whatever, in some places, movie stars, whatever. That when they get to the end of their usefulness, they either kill them or they put them somewhere else, because that deathbed confession, man, that's a killer for them. Because of credibility, because someone else hears it, reveals some of the secrets. That's why they put FDR in Yalta. Speculation, they killed him there because they were afraid of the deathbed confession by that one called FDR. They put him other places. Movie stars, singers, dancers, and so forth, entertainers, usually their freak-out period is 27 to 32 years of age. Look up the 27 Club. Because when they take a blood oath to worship and dedicate their work to Lucifer, they are indwelled with a demon. They sign a contract in blood. John Todd confirms this, and they themselves confirm this. So when you get a vaccine with all that junk in it, your DNA is corrupted, you got drugs in you, you got the nanobot technology, you got a problem. And they know that. They can talk to your troops in night, when they sleep, under REM sleep, they can talk to them as if they had a recorder hooked into their ear by microwave technology. Look it up. If you look at my two studies on my website, you'll see exactly how. Oh, by the way, before I continue, I want to remind you that we are played up in New York, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania in www.highportradio.net. It's highportradio.net. John Kirkler. He's played our broadcast and our Bible studies up there. And his email is highportradio@yahoo.com. Highportradio, one word, @yahoo.com. Reminds you about that. He's got sponsors there and knows up there. You Yankees up there, you support John Kirkler there. How about that? So he plays more of our broadcasts and more of our Bible studies. You know, I need to point out that no one truly knows what's going to happen to a person's heart. Got to know that. These deathbed conversions, hard to account for. Sometimes people accept Christ in the moments before death. Is it possible suicide could have been the last second change of heart and cry out for God's mercy? Got to take that into account. I can't sit here on the radio and say, your cousin, brother, father, whatever committed suicide. They're in hell right now. They're in hell. You don't know that. You don't know at the last minute they may have converted while they were dying. You don't know. Only God knows. Certainly it's against the Bible, but anything beyond that is God's business. But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on this countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. So the suicide of a believer is evidence that anyone can struggle with despair, and that our enemy, Satan, he's a murderer from the beginning. John 8, verse 44. But suicide is a serious sin against God. And according to the Bible, suicide is murder. It's always wrong. Christians are called to live their lives for God, and the decision of when to die is God's and God's alone. Psalms 43:5 is an important verse. Psalms 43, verse 5. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. So why shouldn't one commit suicide? You see, you got to pay attention to this. And the problem here also is beyond suicide. It's when they trigger that troop. Because they can hypnotize them while they're sleeping in the bed with the technology. All they can do is give a trigger word. And they'll kill their family and then kill themselves. Or they'll go into a workplace and kill everybody there. It's like a human drone. Go to my website. Look at that study. And it can tell you how they do it. I got tons of other how they actually do this. I'm not going to talk about that right now. I'm going to focus on suicide right now specifically, but the technology is there, and the background is on my website. So that will take care of that. But it's true. Family suicides are being orchestrated to weaken the U.S. military, to allow the takeover of European troops, Chinese troops, to affect the North American continent, North American Union. If you had a militia group that had other veterans that's patriotic and going to fight this New World Order and all this sort of thing, if they got 22 suicides per day, they got the microchips, they can locate them. Family, I've talked to y'all about that before. Matter of fact, I've got a study, I got the paper with me, put away. Health Department of Health Education Welfare financed the preparation of a study in 1973 called the Coercive Behavior Modification. The actual name of the study was Development and Legal Regulation of Coercive Behavior Modification Techniques with Offenders. Whew, long title. Prepared by the Department of Health Education Welfare. And this project with a study group of homosexuals, they picked specifically. They believed the political rehabilitation began inside the nervous system of the citizen. In 1973, they had implanted a miniaturized radio transmitter in the brain or body, monitoring, transmitting conversations, locations, even a sexual response to the subject 24 hours a day. The report explained that sewed up inside the subject's body, along with the transponder, would be a radio-controlled electric shock device. This device would deliver punishment to the offender anywhere in the world. Who is the author of this subject, this project that took place? Professor Ralph K. Schwetzebel, S-C-H-W-I-T-Z-G-E-B-E-L, of Harvard University. Then they used homosexuals. But later in the monograph, when you read it, it talks about an offender's financial matters, disputes over financial obligations, and socially troublesome persons. Do you remember Red Dawn, the movie in 1983, Patrick Swayze? Do you remember when the Wolverines, that was 83, you're not going to do that today. But you remember the Wolverines, they had one of their own, who's the son of the mayor, I believe it was, had swallowed or had implanted a device, and that's how the Russian Spetsnaz found them. Oh, they ambushed them, as the script line shows. But they wondered how they got found. You see, these movies tell you what's going to happen in real life, and people aren't paying attention. All they pay attention to is your Chuck Baldwin saying we got revolt and all this. He knows what he's doing. Because he's one of them. He has no business being on a pulpit and calling himself a preacher. Neither does Manning or whatever. These are Freemasons. They'll lead a revolt. Romans 13 says God establishes all government. He's the one that changes them. Suicide. Now, I'm going to tell you a little bit more about it. And then you got my ideas, if you've listened this whole time, about how the government's involved, which works for the Vatican. You see, I'm not talking about the government is corrupt. We got to change it. No, no. This is all secret societies within the government. Within the European government, within the Scandinavian government, within the Russian government, within the Chinese government, all working together. It's the secret societies as the enemy. The Illuminati, Roman, Italian, insiders, is the real Illuminati. Not the Jews. It's not Muslims. They're all made to fight each other, yeah. But they control both sides. The Vatican does. The Illuminati controls the Vatican through Pippi Orsini, who's the great pope. Controls the black pope and white pope. There's three popes. Well, three of them are Jesuits, by the way. But those who end their life by suicide, that's how I believe that they're trying to conquer America, our own government, controlled by the Vatican, I'm trying to get this, make sure people understand this, is to have our own soldiers kill themselves and not have to go against all these other troops. You see, you have 257 foreign trade zones, Chinese sovereign territory, inside the United States. So where are all these so-called patriotic generals and political leaders like Ron Paul's and all these guys? Where are they then? How come they're not demanding that they close down the 257 foreign trade zones? Why? 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 Because they're part of it. That's why. How come they're not screaming out about the nanobot technology that's killing our troops with these suicides? Why? How come they're sending women to frontline units knowing very well about the sexual assault, knowing that they can't, that even the physical standards aren't the same? What a surprise that is. Why? Are they that dumb? They have a lobotomy? Or are they members of secret societies with a blood oath against mankind? So they're using suicide as a weapon against their own soldiers and Marines. And nobody wants to hear it. I'm not going to cuss, but I'm just going to think it. So now, going back to the individual, if people were to take a few moments to consider letting God truly be God in your life right now, this is the bottom line. For nothing is impossible with God. So talking to your Luke 1, verse 37, to those around you, educating those around you to what to look for, that when they say, oh yeah, my son, grandson, wife, husband, brother, whatever, just got back from Iraq and Afghanistan, there's your end. Because every one of them's got these vaccinations. Some of them's going to get mad at you when you tell them that the government's a part of it. They ain't going to believe you. That's why I give this preliminary rabbit trails to show you how it's possible that the government could be. Then you, of course, get those in denial. They just don't want to hear it anymore. Don't make it go away. Doesn't change the facts. We're down to individual, not country, Republican, rah, 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 and all this stuff. This is about individuals and whether or not their soul is going to heaven or going to hell. This is the bottom line. You know, these scars from past hurts results in a sense of rejection or abandonment. When they, this is why they train. I know exactly how Marines train. I was recruiting duties as an officer lieutenant in Buffalo, New York. I was in recruit training as a captain. I had a company of 1,300 recruits at any given time and 75 drill instructors I was in charge of. So I know training at Parris Island. I was in the lieutenant and the captain status in the fleet in recruit in deployments, two deployments. I know all aspects of it. When you're trained to do the right thing and you're sent over there and on purpose, told to kill innocent people, that goes against everything you've been taught. They know that. That's why they had one policy. If you kill a soldier with a knife, we're going to give you a 3-day pass. And what kind of nonsense is that? You kill a soldier, another soldier with a knife when you have nothing else and your life's in danger. Yeah, you kill him. But you give a 3-day pass if, hey, look, you know, if you kill him with a knife, I'll give you a 3-day pass. That's nonsense. And to kill unarmed people, that's nonsense. But this is what these majors, colonels, generals are passing down because they know at the highest level that that will do to the individual's mind when he's trained. How about May Lai? How about Kent State? Those were the purposes. Would troops do that? That was test cases. That was test cases. That was trial and error. What happened? Kent State, will Americans fire on citizens? That was the purpose of Kent State. May Lai, will they kill? They want to know. They want to see what will happen. These are trial and error testing by the psychologist in the State Department, Tavistock, to see what would happen. I'm trying to get the point across. They want those scars there. They want the post-traumatic stress being induced on purpose. Because what it does, they know that it leads to self-pity, anger, bitterness, vengeful thoughts, unhealthy fears, and they don't forgive themselves of what they did when the Holy Spirit convicts them. They don't know where to go. They know this at the highest level. They want this at the highest level to degrade our military forces in order to be taken over by the Chinese and Russians already here. You see? That's the tie-in. Back to suicide. Why should you not commit suicide? Well, no matter how bad things are in your life, there's a God of love who's waiting for you to let him guide you through the tunnel of despair and out into the light. His name's Jesus. What I'm talking about you right now is what you can say to other people. An idea of what they're going through. Not discounting the medical part of it. The technology that's being used to orchestrate it. That's another obstacle. But with the love of Jesus, with supernatural power through the Holy Spirit, maybe it could be handled. This Jesus we talk about, the sinless Son of God, identifies with us in a time of rejection and being humiliated. We feel rejected. This is why when they come back from Iraq and Afghanistan, they're heading to India with the money they've made to study Hinduism and Buddhism. See, the new, oh yeah, that's right. I don't want to forget this. That's where they're pulling them into Hinduism, Buddhism, because they know their leaders are Roman Catholic. They know they go to church. So how could these leaders cause me to do this and them love God? I don't like this God guy. I'm going to go study this Hinduism, Buddhism. That's what they're doing. Rick Warren and these other Illuminati heretics have come up with Chrislam for those Muslims that's being convicted, and those Christians being convicted out of the Catholic Church are being taken in by this heresy called Chrislam. This Rick Warren individual. And all parties connected with him. Evil to the core. God will deal with him. But in the meantime, the suicide rate is massive. People feel despised, rejected by everyone. They want to listen. Their life is full of sorrow and suffering that sometimes the family can't see. Don't want to, maybe. They don't know how to handle it. Pierced, wounded, crushed because of our sin. They don't forgive themselves. How can God forgive them? They got to know about forgiveness. Because of his suffering, our lives can be redeemed and made whole. He loves us anyway. They can be forgiven of what they did over there. All they got to do is ask. Be covered by the blood of Jesus, which I'm going to talk about Saturday and some on Monday. You know, Jesus Christ endured all this so you might have all your sins forgiven. These leaders that pretend to be Christian are not at all. So don't judge. It's not about religion anyway. Religion's baloney. Christianity is so convoluted and corrupted, it's not even funny anymore. Jesus Christ is not about religion. He's not about Christianity even anymore. He's about salvation and redemption of your soul through his sacrifice he made. It's not about belonging to some church or belonging to some family group, whatever. I don't know. It doesn't make any difference. It's between you and Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. He'll forgive you of any and every sin you've ever done. And all you got to do is ask him. But you got to forgive yourself. And this is the point of bringing this together, is what's being done is being orchestrated by design. Don't let Satan win twice. Don't let the high ups that's in the Luciferian order and the secret societies win twice. You can beat them by taking Jesus Christ as your Savior and fighting back in that way. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, not our own. But you don't wish vengeance on anybody. That's God's business. Ours to forgive. You got to. That starts with yourself. And you got to forgive others. No matter what. You can't just hold on to it. Whatever weight of guilt that you might carry, know he's going to forgive you if you humbly receive him as your Savior. You call upon him in the name of trouble, I'll deliver you, he says. Psalms 50, verse 15. Nothing you've ever done is too bad for Jesus to forgive. You know, some of his closest servants committed the gross sins like murder. Moses did. Murder and adultery. Murder and adultery was King David. Judas, I can't tell you what happened there. That's God's business. But Judas was one of his followers. Was a traitor to him. The Apostle Paul, physical and emotional abuse. He hated Jews. He hated everybody. He held Stephen's clothes while his cloak while he was being stoned. But yet Paul repented. And Paul had 12 books in the Bible, maybe 13. Hebrews is debatable. God made sure that 12 of Paul's, and Paul did not copy that ridiculous Septuagint. It's nonsense. Coming from a Roman Catholic church and Freemasons and all these others. Paul didn't copy nothing. He got inspiration from the Holy Spirit. He met Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus, supernaturally, made him an apostle. I'd say 12 books in the Bible is pretty much an apostle. But all these others found forgiveness and a new abundant life in the Lord. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. Well, the government is behind this. And there's one man stood out, several actually. Now you can look up Major General Smedley Butler, Major General Smedley D. Butler, and you can read about the plot to seize the White House on your own, where the government set up the U.S. military. They withheld the bonuses of the bonus army of World War I veterans to make sure they got really angry. Then they're going to use them to take over the White House. Does that sound familiar? Yeah, it does. It's coming up today. It's coming up now. To take the militia, take former vets, get them all mad. That's what they did in 1932. Have march on to D.C. and we'll want our bonuses. But they weren't violent. Then Hoover sicked the U.S. Army on his own veterans to make sure they're really ticked off. Major Patton and Major MacArthur, led by Eisenhower and Black Jack Pershing, against their own troops. Sound familiar, guys? Yeah, it does. But Smedley Butler blew the whistle on this operation. They're going to catch Butler and the veterans in an act of traitor, being a traitor, in a coup, and declare martial law. That was FDR's plan. People don't know FDR is a part of it. You can read about that. Jules Archer, plot to seize the White House. But here's another one that will tell you. Don't believe me? Let this little snippet tell you about it right here. believe him, won't you?
Ladies and gentlemen, the very word secrecy is repugnant in a free and open society. And we are, as a people, inherently and historically opposed to secret societies, to secret oaths, and to secret proceedings. We decided long ago that the dangers of excessive and unwarranted concealment of pertinent facts far outweighed the dangers which are cited to justify it. Even today, there is little value in opposing the threat of a closed society by imitating its arbitrary restrictions. Even today, there is little value in ensuring the survival of our nation if our traditions do not survive with it. And there is very grave danger that an announced need for increased security will be seized upon by those anxious to expand its meaning to the very limits of official censorship and concealment. That I do not intend to permit to the extent that it's in my control. And no official of my administration, whether his rank is high or low, civilian or military, should interpret my words here tonight as an excuse to censor the news, to stifle dissent, to cover up our mistakes, or to withhold from the press and the public the facts they deserve to know. For we are opposed around the world by a monolithic and ruthless conspiracy that relies primarily on covert means for expanding its sphere of influence, on infiltration instead of invasion, on subversion instead of elections, on intimidation instead of free choice, on guerrillas by night instead of armies by day. It is a system which has conscripted vast human and material resources into the building of a tightly knit, highly efficient machine that combines military, diplomatic, intelligence, economic, scientific, and political operations. Its preparations are concealed, not published. Its mistakes are buried, not headlined. Its dissenters are silenced, not praised. No expenditure is questioned, no rumor is printed, no secret is revealed. No president should fear public scrutiny of his program. For from that scrutiny comes understanding, and from that understanding comes support or opposition, and both are necessary. I am not asking your newspapers to support an administration, but I am asking your help in the tremendous task of informing and alerting the American people. For I have complete confidence and the response and dedication of our citizens whenever they are fully informed. I not only could not stifle controversy among your readers, I welcome it. This administration intends to be candid about its errors. For as a wise man once said, an error doesn't become a mistake until you refuse to correct it. We intend to accept full responsibility for our errors, and we expect you to point them out when we miss them. Without debate, without criticism, no administration and no country can succeed, and no republic can survive. That is why the Athenian lawmaker Solon decreed it a crime for any citizen to shrink from controversy. And that is why our press was protected by the First Amendment, the only business in America specifically protected by the Constitution, not primarily to amuse and entertain, not to emphasize the trivial and the sentimental, not to simply give the public what it wants, but to inform, to arouse, to reflect, to state our dangers and our opportunities, to indicate our crises and our choices, to lead, mold, educate, and sometimes even anger.
Now, number two. Kind of sums it right up.
The promises of the great society have been shot down on the battlefield of Vietnam, making the poor, white and Negro, bear the heaviest burdens both at the front and at home.
You know, wasn't the thing he had to do, I think it was a, It was not a political thing, because as it turned out, I think it was kind of like a death knell for him. But it was a very brave thing for him to do, because he went against all the people, you know, who we considered reasonable.
Others can do what they want to do. That's their business. Or the civil rights leaders, for various reasons, refuse or can't take a stand or have to go along with the administration. That's their business. But I must say tonight that I know that justice is indivisible. Injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. The world now demands a maturity of America that we may not be able to achieve. It demands that we admit that we have been wrong from the beginning of our adventure in Vietnam, that we have been detrimental to the life of the Vietnamese people. The situation is one in which we must be ready to turn sharply from our present ways. The New Testament says, repent. It is time for America to repent now, for the kingdom of God is at hand. As we counsel young men concerning military service, we must clarify for them our nation's role in Vietnam and challenge them with the alternative of conscientious objection. And I say this morning that it is my hope that every young man in this country who finds this war objectionable and abominable and unjust would file as a conscientious objector. Now let me tell you the truth about it. They must see Americans as strange liberators. Do you realize that the Vietnamese people proclaimed their own independence in 1945? This way of settling differences is not just sending men home from dark and bloody battlefields, physically handicapped and psychologically deranged, and not be reconciled with wisdom, justice, and love. A nation that continues year after year to spend more money on military defense than on programs of social uplift is approaching spiritual death. Don't let anybody make you think that God chose America as his divine messianic force to be a sort of policeman of the whole world. God has a way of standing before the nations with judgment, and it seems that I can hear God saying to America, you are too arrogant. If you don't change your ways, I will rise up and break the backbone of your power, and I'll place it in the hands of a nation that doesn't even know my name.
I think the moral force of Dr. King's opposition had to be an enormous body blow to the president. That's when I first observed him not meeting with Dr. King. And I don't think Dr. King came into the White House many times after that.
He went from being someone whom Lyndon Johnson had brought to the White House on his way back from winning the Nobel Prize to someone, once he gave his speech attacking the war in 67, and you'll have to pardon the language, Johnson referred to as a nigger preacher.
I want to make it very clear that I'm going to continue with all of my might, with all of my energy, and with all of my action to oppose that abominable, evil, unjust war in Vietnam.
Martin King, as you know, came out and gave a speech called Why I'm Opposed to Vietnam. And in that speech, he talked about God's judgment on America. He talked about America being arrogant. This is King, who we love so much and revere and have the holiday and cast as a dreamer. He talked about an arrogant America. He talked about God's judgment on America. And he said these words at the time, that the U.S. is the greatest purveyor of violence in the world today. The minute he said that, he fell off the list of the most admired Americans. In 1967, they disinvited him to the White House. Here's a guy who in 64 and 65 helped Lyndon Johnson sign the Voting Rights and Civil Rights Act. In 67, a couple years later, they disinvite him from the White House. In 68, they shoot him dead. Part of being a patriot means to stand as a truth teller and say what's got to be said. What's
all right?
So you don't get into trouble. The they that disinvited him from the White House is a little different than the they who shot him dead.
I can debate
no?
you. I can debate you.
Really?
I can debate you.
It's an evil war. No matter where it leads, no matter what abuses it may bring, I'm going to tell the truth. We've burned down too many rice fields. We've run too many peasants and humble people out of their villages and out of their little huts. It's time, America, to come on home from Vietnam.
It scared the Army that a man had that much strength in the United States could influence a war that they were losing.
In 1993, then-reporter Steve Tompkins wrote a series of articles for the Memphis Commercial Appeal, claiming that Army intelligence officers were certain King was leading a revolution.
And they felt that if Dr. King was turning against the war, and Dr. King was saying, I'm going to shut down the government to stop this war, Dr. King then was becoming an enemy.
And when King announced plans to lead hundreds of thousands in a poor people's march on Washington, James Earl Ray's attorney William Pepper says, government leaders became even more alarmed.
And when they viewed the Pentagon demonstration in October of 67, they got what they thought was a taste of barbarians at the gate.
William Pepper's controversial theory, now embraced by the King family, is that the government's fear of Dr. King was behind the plot to kill him.
So he was never going to be allowed to bring that mass of humanity to Washington. That, I believe, was the primary reason why he was killed.
We've got some difficult days ahead. But it really doesn't matter with me now, because I've been to the mountaintop. Like anybody, I would like to live a long life. Longevity has its place. But I'm not concerned about that now. I just want to do God's will. And He's allowed me to go up to the mountain. And I've looked over. And I've seen the promised land. I may not get there with you, but I want you to know tonight that we as a people will get to the promised land. So I'm happy tonight. I'm not worried about anything. I'm not fearing any man. Mine eyes have seen the glory.
Our entry into World War II, summed up by President FDR himself. He said, in spite of the risk involved, however, in letting the Japanese fire the first shot, we realized in order to have the full support of the American people, it was desirable to make sure the Japanese be the ones to do this, so that there should remain no doubt in anyone's mind as to who was the aggressors. Oliver Littleton, a member of Churchill, a cousin of, Churchill was a cousin of FDR. Churchill was a cousin, second cousin, Churchill, second cousin to Adolf Hitler. second cousin to Stalin, second cousin to Queen Elizabeth II in power today. We're all second cousins. FDR is a lower level second cousin, lower level cousin, as all of our presidents have been. Yeah, buddy, that's a fact. Well, Littleton said, was a member of Churchill's War Cabinet, 1944, America provoked the Japanese to such an extent that the Japanese were forced to attack Pearl Harbor. It's a travesty of history to say that America was forced into war, unquote. Family, it's not about America. It's about America being the fighting arm of the Illuminati. The Illuminati is secret societies. This is my point. American money, our money, put Hitler into power in 1927-28 under I.G. Farben, Kimoka cartel. Bush is a part of this mess. I.G. Farben. Money sent the scenes. Money sent secretly for one purpose, to make the conspirators wealthy. It also lead to the next. Plan defeat in Korea. Quote, a Chicago Tribune article in 1950 said, the members of the Council on Foreign Relations, that's Illuminati, should look at their hands. There's blood on them. The dried blood of the last war, World War II, this is 1950s, and the fresh blood of the present one, that's Korean War, unquote. You know that Cheney was a director of the CFR at one time, assistant director, Cheney, who's also the bloodline. He's a bloodline, as Dole is, as Romney is a cousin of Bush. You all get what I'm telling you right here? You know that Taiwan, back in those days in the 50s, were ready to, willing to cross the channel and take Red China back for the free Chinese? You know it was not allowed to happen? According to General MacArthur, is that high enough for you? General MacArthur said in his diary, quote, the possibility of Red China's entry in the Korean War had existed ever since the order from Washington issued to the 7th Fleet in June to neutralize, I mean blockade, Formosa. That's where Chiang Kai-shek was coming out of, which in effect protected the Red China mainland from attack by Chiang Kai-shek's forces of 500,000 men. Those were free Chinese. They would have taken Red China back. You know that also, according to General MacArthur, the Taiwanese government, quote, of Chiang Kai-shek, who less than a week after the North Koreans had crossed the 30th parallel, offered the State Department an advance force of 33,000 troops that could be embarked for Korea within 5 days after the offer was accepted. Suggestion was politely refused. Formosa was at that time a member of the United Nations and therefore could have been represented in the United Nations force. But the American government would have not tolerated such a move. It's not just the American government. It's the Jesuits that control it. Secret societies that control it. Illuminati that controlled it. Do you know that General Lin Pao, who's a North Korean general, said, I quote, I would never have made the attack and risked my men if I had not been assured that Washington would restrain General MacArthur from taking adequate retaliatory measures against my line of supply communication. He's a general in the Red Chinese Army. Do you know that in August of 1966, the State Department issued a pamphlet entitled Private Boycotts versus National Interest? See, the companies within the military-industrial complex was going to boycott Russia and Eastern Bloc countries because they were working with VC. Well, the government said, oh, no, you can't boycott Russia. And they issued a pamphlet in 1966 in August. And it says here that all American citizens in the pamphlet should know that any American businessman who chooses to engage in peaceful trade with the Soviet Union or Eastern European countries to sell the goods he buys is acting within the rights and following the policy of the government. But any organization, however patriotic in intention, undertakes a boycott, blacklist, or otherwise penalize, or attack any American business for engaging in peaceful trade with Eastern European countries of the Soviet Union is acting against the interests of the United States. So that means the guns, ammunition, weapons, transportation systems that killed Americans in Vietnam came from American subsidized economy, the Soviet Union. But that's not the worst of it. The worst of it is this, and based on what I'm talking about for the past 2 hours, one of the most tragic sales to the Russian government occurred in 1966 when the U.S. government sent the Soviet Union the entire technical specifications which they needed to build a glycerol plant. Specifically, in Vietnam, glycerol was used as a detonator in booby traps. Over 50% of all American casualties suffered in Vietnam came from booby traps. Agent Orange was used to give them cancer by design. Family, this is a Luciferian agenda. Secret societies is the enemy of and in themselves. This is my point. It's not about revolting against the U.S. government. It's about changing out the social secret societies, but that's not going to happen because they control. We're going to impeach Obama. Oh, give me a break. That's ridiculous because there's nobody to imprison anybody or impeach or nothing. They all work together as secret societies, placating the American public. Every mother, son of them, and daughter, that'd be female senators as well, are all part of this Luciferian elite agenda. The only one you can trust is Jesus Christ. That's it. You see? And Satan's lost this war already. Because he's coming back. So there's no reason for suicide. You got to talk to these people. You got to talk to family members and those that's coming back from Iraq and Afghanistan to forgive themselves. Be gentle with them. Talk to them. Pray with them. Because they're hurting by design. That's why the increase of the 40% increase of suicides, because it's being orchestrated. Guilford syndrome was also designed from a virus. Affects the neural system. By design. You see? Look up Chinagate, Clinton, a high-level Luciferian and a priest in the Luciferian order. Chinagate, 1930, giving secret stuff to China. Nothing new. Carter was a running buddy. Helped bring the Chinese in the Panama Canal by a treaty signed in 1978 to make sure the Chinese could come into Panama Canal to start building their military bases in Mexico. For Clinton, it was allowing them to build the military base and secretly with Costco at Long Beach Naval Base to set up their military attention here in the United States and Mexico and Cuba and Canada and Idaho and all kinds of places in preparation for the takeover. But first, they got a big obstacle. That'd be the U.S. servicemen and women and Americans with more guns than Carter's got liver pills since they started. But they got to keep us all divided. They're doing a great job with all this racial talk once again. With the gay pride parade and everybody, straights and brides, it's all divided. There's more of us than them. Really. Those that's claiming there's more of us than them better do the count again. Because they don't have no idea on TV or some of these talk shows when they say there's more of us than them, they ain't got a clue what they're talking about. You're Alex Joneses, Leal, all these guys, Quails, all these people? No, sir. No way. They support the Vatican. They support the Apocrypha, Torah code, Bible code, all this nonsense, because that's their purposes. Those who say God, God, and Jesus, Jesus, don't mean they are with them by no stretch of the imagination. There's no such thing as angel wars. There's bad angels, and there's bad angels, and they fight when they do with this Project Blue Beam nonsense that's coming. It's another placating move that they're going to make, and it's going to fool the American public again. Y'all be ready. I'm going to go into it tomorrow. Bible study, 7:30 to 9. Whew. today has been a little heavy. Well, family, I went over a little bit, but I got to cut it down here because I got to keep it to a certain limit. So, family, you have a great weekend, and know that you've won unto Christ. Jesus won unto the cross of Calvary. Take Jesus Christ as Savior. Don't wait around. This is the bottom line. That's how you win. Satan will be upseated, but by Jesus and Jesus alone. No human being and no so-called fallen angels that's going to play like they're good aliens or whatever this nonsense, Star Trek crap, garbage, nonsense, is going to do it. They're going to placate only for a short period of time. The King James Bible and Revelation is going to come true. When? Whenever God allows it to. Rapture? Forget about the rapture. If it happens pre-trib, mid-trib, pre-wrath, post, who cares? Nobody knows what it's going to be anyway. You can't argue the point because nobody knows. When's the tribulation? Well, we don't know, so you don't know when the rapture is either. How do you take a position when you don't know what's going to happen? You can't. Worry about bringing people in. Excuse me. Know how to witness and bring people in to Jesus Christ, to witness for them. And those getting ready to commit suicide, you can tell. I'll talk more about this next week. And steps to take to bring people to Jesus. We got to go. Y'all have a great night. And know that he depends on you. And you depend on you. Jesus Christ is there for you. He loves you all. But he's waiting for you to come to him. He came to us first. Now he's waiting for you to come to him. Not last when it's all done, but first before it begins. Have a great weekend. God bless. God bless, good night, and have a great weekend. See you all tomorrow at 7:30. Bible study. Good night.